so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
We got any Kansas City fans in this place? A lot more than San Francisco, but far less than the last few services. Because the ones who care a lot, they're like, I'm there. Do we have any Jesus fans in this place? Come on! Pastor Luke, how sad would it be if we're in church and like, I'm like, you know, Kansas City, if you're like, wah! And I say Jesus, and they're like, oh.
Yeah, I know.
I'm glad we're in a church where people love Jesus more than the Super Bowl, amen? God first, then the Super Bowl. You ready for the word?
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind, please stay standing while I read the word. I'm reading from 1 John 4:7 to 12. Y'all know it's love month, right?
Yes.
Not only is it love month because Valentine's Day is coming up, woo, you know, all that gear, but also we start a new sermon series this month called Love Month, okay? And so I'm reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. It says, dear friends, let us love one another. Turn to your neighbor and say, let us love one another. I'm just like, I'm always trying to make it right for that single young man in here, you know? You know, if you stand next to that beautiful woman, I will have you say something to her, all right? Come on. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Yeah. Verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
Amen.
This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another.
Yeah.
We ought to love one another.
Yeah.
See, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, if you want to receive something good from God today, reach out your hands in faith as I pray for you. God, we ask today that you would help us to know your love, to know you and to love, to grow in your love, to be your love, and to spread your love everywhere that we go. I pray that every person in this room, every person in our West room, every person in an online room, that every person sitting under this ministry today would experience your love today again or for the first time. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness, and we thank you that the Chiefs are going to win. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Come on, everybody, say amen.
Amen.
You can't say that in a prayer. I can say whatever I want. You may take your seats, high five someone sitting next to you and say, spread the love. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. Rumor has it, it's the greatest church in the universe. And so we just want to thank you for coming to visit today. I've got a gift for you after the service. Out in the lobby, we've got a gift for you, a welcome bag. So please go and get that immediately after the service. In fact, my friend Pastor Brandon will be out later to talk a bit more about that. Today, we're talking about love. Touch your neighbor, say love. See, you can't say love. We're talking about love. No, we're talking about love. Come on. Today, we're talking about love, and we're talking about spreading the love, baby, spreading the love, because it's love month. But before we talk about spreading the love, there's something very important we need to talk about today. We need to talk about spreading Vegemite.
Okay.
All right. We need to talk about Vegemite before we can talk about love. Sound good? All right. See, here's the thing. Today is love month, and I know that I should start by giving you an example about love, but first I need to talk to you about how to spread Vegemite, because Americans seem to hate Vegemite, right? They seem to hate it, but there's a reason Americans hate Vegemite. They hate Vegemite because they don't spread it right.
Okay.
They don't spread it right. They put way too much Vegemite on their toast. Like, they think Vegemite is like Nutella. They think Vegemite, they think it's like peanut butter, right? Like, leather it on, all nice and thick. They put way too much Vegemite on their toast, right? Now, don't worry, I'm not about to draw some comparison between love and Vegemite and say that if you love too much, that people will run off and vomit, like if you put on too much Vegemite, right? Like, that's not where I'm going today, all right? But I want to tell you how you're supposed to spread your Vegemite, right? Have we got any Aussies or New Zealanders in the room? Give me a wave. Awesome, two of them up here. And that's it. Actually, no, he's not an Australian. Actually, that kid used to be, but he's not anymore. Oh, there's one. Come on. There we go. And the way you spread your Vegemite is lightly. Come on, someone say lightly. Lightly, right? If you put that thing on like Nutella, you're going to vomit, all right? If I put that stuff on like Nutella, I'm going to vomit, all right? You got to spread it lightly, okay? And in fact, I love Vegemite. But one of my favorite restaurants in town is actually owned by an Australian guy. It's called St. Kilda. And so every one of his restaurants has Vegemite in it. So almost every time that I go there, I ask for a piece of toast and some Vegemite on the side, right? Now, I don't ask them to put the Vegemite on because Americans don't put Vegemite on right, okay? Now, if Alex was there, I'd let Alex put my Vegemite on my toast, but I'm not going to let an American put my Vegemite on my toast, all right? Y'all don't know how to do it, all right? So I asked them to send out my Vegemite on the side. So they do, they put it on the toast. They get me this nice toast and they nicely butter it and my Vegemite comes out on the side. And I lightly put it on and then my life just goes from like an 8 to a 10, right? Like I live at 8, but Vegemite takes it to a 10 every time. Because you know Vegemite makes your life better, right? Right? Like, come, what's with the not convinced kind of attitude I got going on out here, right? Like, Vegemite makes your life better. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Wow, so not convinced out there. Well, listen, Vegemite makes your relationships better. It makes your neighborhood better. It makes your life better, all right? It's full of veggies and it's mighty, all right? Like, it's right there in the name. It's good for you, okay? And, but here's the thing about Vegemite. Like, when you get a hankering for Vegemite, you got to get some Vegemite. A while back, I was sitting on the couch, and I got that Vegemite feeling. Y'all know that Vegemite. You've all had the Vegemite feeling, right? Like I really need some Vegemite. And again, nobody in this room is agreeing with me. And that just proves that your lives are at an 8, and I can help you get them to a 10. But we'll do that after church, all right? Like, y'all, when you get that Vegemite feeling, I had the Vegemite feeling. I needed a Vegemite sandwich. Now listen up, Vegemite tastes great on white bread. Like, it's amazing on white bread, right? You don't want your Vegemite on Ezekiel bread. You don't want your Vegemite on whole grain, whole wheat, or no, on brown bread, you don't want it. Listen, I'm all about that whole wheat bread. I love it, right? I'm all about that brown bread. I love it. But you want your Vegemite on white bread. Right, you want it on the white bread, especially on bakery white bread, okay? That stuff is the jam, right? That is amazing, right? And so I needed a Vegemite sandwich. Now, the other thing about Vegemite is you don't want margarine on it, right? Margarine is a sin, right? Margarine came from hell, all right? Like a demon brought that crap and said, y'all should eat this. So like, you don't want margarine, right? You need to put soft butter on your, real butter, not butter that's been mixed with sugar or mixed with cream. No, you want butter, all right? Now, you know, y'all spend all this money buying soft butter, don't you?
No.
Right? Like, why do you even do that? You know, you don't need to put your butter in the fridge. You pull that butter out of the fridge, you try to spread it on your nice white bread, it breaks your bread, all right? It ruins the entire experience. And a Vegemite sandwich doesn't taste as good with a hole in it, all right? Like, just don't put your butter in the fridge, all right? Leave your butter on the bench, okay? Sorry, leave your butter on the countertop, all right? And throw that margarine in the trash. Now, listen up. I had that Vegemite feeling. That Vegemite feeling that you've all had before. And I went to the kitchen And I was blessed. We had bakery white bread. That's amazing, right? Unreal. And an American hadn't put our butter in the fridge. So we had soft, yellow, Kerrygold butter on the kitchen bench. So I took that bread, I took that butter, I told the bread, I'm going to eat you. I grabbed that butter, I put it on. You put the butter on thick like it's peanut butter, come on. I put that butter on the bread there. I was getting excited. Then I reached under the counter. And what happened next ruined my life. Listen up, my friends, there was no Vegemite. I went from an 8 to a 2. See, here's the thing about spreading Vegemite. Before you argue about how much Vegemite to put on your bread, and before you argue about what color bread tastes best with your Vegemite, you got to actually have some Vegemite. Now, for the moment that you've all been waiting for, the much-anticipated Vegemite and love analogy that everybody's been waiting for is finally coming to fruition. Listen up. If you want to spread the love, the most important thing about love, the most important thing about love, more important than who you give it to, more important than how you package it up, more important than the color of the shirt of the person that you're going to slap it on, the most important thing about spreading the love, you got to have some love to spread. You got to have a little more love to spread. There's another thing about Vegemite, while we're talking about Vegemite. Very important thing you all need to know about Vegemite. Since we're talking about Vegemite, y'all enjoying talking about Vegemite?
Yeah.
Yeah, like everybody's favorite spread, right? Like, for sure, right? It'd be like if I was up here talking about, like, handing out money. I'm basically talking about the same thing right now, right? That anyone can have some of this Vegemite when we're done, all right? I'll give it away. There's another thing about Vegemite, though. Kiwis and Poms can't handle Vegemite. Y'all like, what the heck's a kiwi and a pom? That's Australian for the New Zealanders and the British. Can't handle Vegemite, all right? They hated missing out on that Vegemite trend, that Vegemite feeling. They hated missing out on that world-renowned, everybody loves Australia, they got Vegemite. They hated missing out on that whole thing, so they made their own because they couldn't handle our Vegemite, right? They couldn't handle it, so they made their own. And one made this crap, Marmite, and the other made Promite. Now, here's the thing about Marmite and Promite. When an Aussie comes over to a British person's house and asks for a Vegemite sandwich, and then the British person is like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I'd love to get you a Vegemite sandwich. We'll have a cup of tea and we'll have a sandwich, eh? How's that sound, eh? When they do that, and then they bring you out some Marmite crap on toast, it's offensive. It's offensive, all right? And it's hurtful. It's hurtful. It breaks your heart. It takes you from an 8 to a 2 again. It messes you up. When I ask for Vegemite, I don't want some trash that's going to ruin my life. I want the real stuff. Come on. I want the original life-enriching, relationship-empowering Vegemite. I want the real stuff. The world needs more love. Y'all need more love. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, you need more love. We all need a little more love. But what we don't need, what we don't want, what won't help the world is more of that Promite, Marmite, counterfeit, cheap, replacement love that comes from everything else but God. Because God is love. Someone say it with me. God is love. And if you want to love the way that God has called you to love, if you want to love your wife, your husband, your kids, your family, your neighbors, even strangers, the way that God is calling us to love, then you got to spend some time in the presence of real love. Not in the presence of Promite, not in the presence of Marmite, but in the presence of that Vegemite love, amen? That original, real deal love. But there's counterfeit Promite, Marmite love everywhere. You don't want counterfeit love. I spent so much of my life chasing down that love from all the wrong places. From trying to maybe have a certain image, look a certain way. Maybe if I dress like Iowans, then they'll come to my church. Maybe I'll do this, maybe do that. Maybe if I could just get the approval of other people. Chasing down love from God in my service for God, in what I do for God, rather than just by being with God. Chasing down love in relationships, you know? Well, if I could date that girl, you know what I mean? High school, if I could date that girl, you know, I told you about the bus story, right? Didn't work out so well. A couple of weeks ago, just Google it. It'll be on there. Probably under the heading creeper pastor or something like that, but chasing it down in all the wrong places. Hollywood tells us that love is a good time in bed. Or love is physical good looks or attraction. Or love is something that you fall into and fall out of. Like you can fall into love. Like love is a hole that you fall in. And then you're in there and you're like, oh, I'm in love. I fell in the hole of love. How do you fall out of a hole? You fell in it. How are you going to fall out of it? You can't fall out of it. What, is it got a false floor? I fell in love. And then someone whipped the floor out and I fell out of love. Right? Love's not something you fall into or fall out of, my friend. The world doesn't need more of that conditional, superficial knockoff love. The love I need the most is His love, amen? His love is patient. His love is kind. His love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. His love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. His love always protects. His love always trusts. His love always hopes. His love perseveres. His love never fails. Amen. Come on. You need that love. If I'm Lauren's source of perfect love, her life's gonna suck. Let me just put that out there for y'all. It ain't easy being married to a over-the-top hyperactive moron, right? And listen up, I can't say that my love will always be patient. Hey, if my friends, this is Tyler, he's a friend of mine. If my friends are my source of perfect love, I can't say that he'll never dishonor. But I can say that his love, that God's love, that God who is love, is patient, kind, never ending, always uplifting, enduring. See, but some of us have been chasing love in all the wrong places, right? Right? Some of y'all are like, I thought this was going to be like Love Month. No, we're talking about love, real love, God love. Amen. Some of us have been chasing love in all the wrong places. Some of us are still chasing that Marmite, Promite love in relationships, in sex, in alcohol, in approval, right? Maybe even in the need for compliments. If I could just do this and someone could just tell me I did a good job, then I feel love. Do you know what? Good job. That's not love. Good job. Do you know what is what God's love is? Man, that was terrible, but I love you. Right? Right? Like, that's love. Recognition of your good work. You don't need my approval. You have His approval. And it's enduring, even when your behavior isn't. You don't need sex to feel love. Nothing wrong with that. God designed that. It's great in your marriage. But you don't need that to feel love. You need to be in His presence, and you'll be overcome with His love. Amen. You don't need alcohol to wash away the feelings of being unloved, betrayed, or forgotten. You need to spend time in the presence of His perfect love. Love that is patient, that is kind, that is enduring, that is encouraging, that is hopeful. Not hopeful as in a hope, no, full of hope and protects you. If you want to fill up that love tank, come on, we all got a love tank. Every one of us has a love tank. Everyone needs to fill up the love tank. Y'all need your love tank filled up. You'll be a better person with that thing full. Amen. If you want to fill up that love tank and if you want it to overflow, who wants it to overflow? Right? Yeah, you want it to overflow so that everywhere you go, that other people feel the love, so that everywhere you go, people are being blessed by the love and the power and the presence of God that you're carrying into their lives, so that people feel safe, so that people feel hope. If you want to have a love that overflows, then you got to go to the source. Not to the copy, not to the counterfeit. You got to go to the source where the love is real, where it's pure, where it's thick, where it's strong, where it's enduring. You got to go to the source, and you got to keep going to the source. Back to the source, love. Back to the source, love. Back to the source, love. Back to the source again and again and again. See, because Scripture says it perfectly. God is love. God is love. It doesn't say that God has love, or that God did love, or that God was love, or that God sends love and well wishes. No, it says that God is love. God is the source of all love. God is the origin point of our need for love. God is the origin point of the love that we feel. He is the epicenter of love's big bang. Amen. It all started with Him. See, God is not anger. God is not jealousy. He's not any of these other emotions. He has emotions, but there's only one that He is. He is love. He is love. And the more you hang out in His presence, the better you'll feel, the stronger you'll be, the easier it'll be to be kind to other people, the easier it'll be to be patient when people are being dumb, the easier it'll be to endure the storms of life that come to you. Listen up, church. The more you hang out in His presence, the more kindness you'll have, the more patience you'll have, the more hope that you'll have, the more protected that you'll be and they'll be, the more trust that you'll have in others, the more rejoicing you'll do. You'll rejoice in people's good fortune rather than be sad when people are rejoicing. The more perseverance that you'll have, and check it out, if God is love, and Scripture says that love is patient, love is kind. The more you hang out in His presence, according to this Scripture, in the presence of real love, you'll dishonor others less. You'll be less easily angered. You'll be less bitter because love keeps no record of wrong. So you don't carry that bitterness. You don't carry that pain, that hurt, that brokenness. You're not keeping that record anymore. And so with all that out of the way, you will be better at loving others. But the Scripture says, if I do not have love, then I am just a resounding gong. Ain't nobody want to be a gong. Nobody ever said, when I grow up, I want to be a gong. I want to be a gong for God. You can't be a gong for God. He doesn't want us to be a gong. He wants us to love. Without love, I'm nothing but a resounding gong. Who are the gongs? The gongs are the people that don't spend enough time in the presence of God, that are never going back to the source, but they're running out here saying, quit that. Quit that. Stop that. Gong. Don't do that, gong. Don't sit like that, gong. Don't dress like that in church, gong. Stop smoking that, gong. Stop drinking that, gong. They got all these rules for everybody, but they never spend time in the presence of real love. So even if something they said was good, it sounds like this, gong. Ain't nobody listening to the gong. You would all leave church if we did nothing but hit the cymbal for an hour and 20 minutes, just smashing the cymbal, gong. Ain't nobody listening to that. Without love, I'm nothing but a resounding gong. That's someone who's not spent enough time in the house of God. That's someone who's not spent enough time in the church, in the house of God, with the people of God, and in the presence of God, amen? That's someone who never, ever is worshiping God during the week. They got it on their CD or their radio or in their home. That person is never spending time in the presence of God, and they're a gong. I need to go back to the source. Hey, if I don't have any Vegemite, I can't spread any Vegemite. If I don't have any love, I can't spread any love. Someone say amen. Here's the thing, though. If I don't have any love, and I just see this young lady here, and she's just doing her thing, and I walk past, and, you know, like, nothing happened, right? Nothing happened. Didn't do anything. I got nothing. But if I keep going back to the source, y'all know that God's a giant redhead, right? Y'all know that, right? Like, where do y'all think that whole tongues of fire thing come from, right? You know? And so I hate to admit it, but honestly, the most godly among us are the redheads. So if I want, so I want to go to the source, right? I want to hang out with God. Amen. Keep going back. So I'm like, hey, God. And I'm just hanging out with God, just doing our thing. And when I'm in the presence of God, I'm getting marked. I'm in the presence of God. And that real love that's all over God, it's on me. It's getting on me. That real love, it's getting on me. It's all over me. It's that love. It's beautiful. It's all over me, right? And because I went to the source. But now when I walk past this person here, I didn't even know them. I'm just, hey, how you doing? You doing well? Good to see you. Love you. I marked her now. See, I got marked, and now everywhere I go, I'm leaving a mark. See, now I'm carrying that love. I'm carrying that grace. I'm carrying that power. I'm carrying the presence of God into her life now because I've been going back to the source. But if that's it, now I'm done. It's going to dry up, right? It's going to dry up. And then I'm just going to walk around and leave no mark again. Because who knows? Loving people's messy. Like, it's messy, right? Like, it's messy. And it's hard work sometimes. It's real hard work when you ain't got no love. And then you got to love somebody. So I got to go back. Hey, God, you rock. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us in. Power and majesty. And now I'm just going for a walk, and there's a homeless dude. Hey, man. Hey, brother. Hey, come here. You're good. Hey, I got your back. I got you. I got you. And now he's marked. Now he's marked. Because I went back to the source, right? But I'm running out. I'm running out because it's messy. It's messy loving people, right? And so now I'm going to come back again and get some more. And hey, have some more. God bless you. You know? And I'm coming over here. I'm like, this guy's having coffee. Hey, man, I saw you at church on Sunday, man. You have a good day? Hey, you're a champion, man. Keep it up, all right? That's it. Like, I could spend 2 seconds with that dude, and I've carried something into his life. The presence of God, the love of God, that real love, that perfect love, that enduring love has now been carried into his life. And I don't know what's going on in his life. I don't know if he just got fired. Well, he was cranky. Well, maybe he just got fired. So I'm going to leave some love on him, yeah? I don't know what's going on in his life. I don't know what she's about to walk into. She's a stranger, and I just said, hey, God bless you. We love you. Like, I don't know what's going on in her life. I don't have anything to give her except that I'm carrying the power and the presence and the love of God, and I can drag it into her life. But then, it's been a busy day at work, you know, like at church. This guy here, you know, like he was like, we had to rebuke him, you know. No, that didn't really happen, right? Like it's been a busy day. I had to work, you know, saw this guy, and I was hanging out with the homeless guy, and I was talking to strangers, and I was in planning meetings and all this gear, and then we were in budget meetings and all this gear. We had a board meeting, and our board meetings are great and fun. I love you guys. Don't worry. But it's busy, right? And then I'm tired. And I got to go home and see my boy. but now I'm dry. But I don't want everybody else to get that love. And my boy miss out, right? Man, you know, so I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back again. I want it all over me. And I'm going to get some more of that love. Because I don't want my family to be the only ones that miss out. So now I got to go hang out with him. Maybe he was naughty at school. I don't know. Probably it's Charlie, right? Like you're a little crazy, aren't you, mate? You know it. And maybe I've got to talk to him about something, right? So I'm going to come over here and I want to hang out with my guy. Hey, buddy, I love you, man. How you doing? You good? Give me a hug. Ah, man, I love you. You make me so proud. And what? And now I'm a better dad when I've been hanging out in the presence of God, right? Like now when I got home, I actually got something to give this little guy. Here, I've got some leftovers for you too. Like, I got some more, man. I'll be a better husband. Baby, come give me a hug. No, I'm just... I'm a better husband when I've been hanging out with God. People all reading that scripture, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not self-seeking, it is, you know, they read that at their weddings and all they did was read words. Yeah. All they did, in fact, that's a gong if you're not actually spending time in the presence of God. Yeah. Well done. Big, loud gong at your wedding. That's it. That's it. It's nothing. You know what? Spend some time actually worshiping God at your wedding. Spend some time actually worshiping God in your marriage. Don't just talk about what God's love is. Bring it into your life. Bring it into your marriage. Bring it into your home, into your kids' life. You're going to be a better stranger. Come on. You'll be a better stranger when you keep going back to the source. You'll be a better husband. Anyone in here want to be a good husband? Dudes. Any girls in here? Any ladies want to be a good, better wife? Yeah? Any people in here want to be a better brother, better sister? Anyone want to be a better stranger?
Yeah.
Right? Like we can be a better neighbor, better brother, better sister if we keep going back to the source. And then we actually carry something with us everywhere that we go. If I read on, you got to spread the love. You can't just like be like, I'm going to go to the source, but then walk around everywhere and never touch anyone, never bless anyone, never pray with anyone. Like, I could be like this and like, she looks sad or something, and I'm like, no, I'm going to keep this. I want to keep this sweet, just love of God on this sweet Puma tracksuit. This is for me. No, scripture says, whoever does not love does not know God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Come on, give these guys a hand. Whoever does not love does not know God. That word know, it's not know like we often think about, like, you know, like, you know, never heard of God. It's not know like doesn't know who God is. Check it out. It's not even that person doesn't believe in God, right? You know who the gongs are? They're people who've been saved. They believe in God. They believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. But they gong everywhere they go. So what does this no mean? It means this: no, they do not know God, as in that person is not intimate with God. That person has not been with God. That person does not have an active and ongoing relationship with God. They have not or are not actually experiencing God. In other words, they don't hang out with God. They don't hang out with God. Because someone who actually spends time with God experiences His love. Because He is love. And that love overflows. That love makes him or her a better person. And they walk out of His presence covered in. baptized in, which means fully immersed in his love. Every time, every party in the presence of God is a love baptism, amen? That person will love their neighbors. That person will love their families better. That person will be a better stranger. That person will not grow weary in doing good. Scripture says, do not grow weary in doing good, especially for those in the house of God. That person will not grow weary in doing good. That person will notice people. That person will be extra generous with people. That person is going to be extra kind to strangers. Amen. You know who that person is? That's the person that gets the phone call when people are in need. If you're that person, you're the person that your colleague will call when they get arrested. Because love is messy.
Yeah, that's
good. If you're that person, you're the person that your kid's school teacher's gonna call when they're getting divorced. Because they know that every time I get around Nathan, I feel marked. Every time I leave his presence, I'm uplifted. Every time he talks to me, it does something to my heart. You're the one they'll call when their lives are falling apart. See, because they know that spending time with you will paint their life in the love of God, in the presence of God, in the grace of God. It will paint their life in the blood of God that was poured out for us on the cross. Amen. We can paint this town red if we keep going back to the source and then start spreading it around. We can paint this town red in grace, in our kindness, in our patience, in the favor of God. People looking at their lives going, look at all that favor on their lives. We can carry that into our communities and into our towns, into our neighborhoods and our cul-de-sacs and our streets and our apartment buildings. But you got to make sure that your tank is full. Amen. You got to make sure that you have got some Vegemite in the cupboard. Come, would y'all stand up with me? You need to spend time worshiping God. It needs to be a priority in your life. You better believe having Vegemite in my cupboard is a priority in my house. Right? Serious. I wouldn't want a sandwich spread to have a higher priority than the love of God. Right? One way that we do that is in our worship. When you worship God, he's ministering to you. He's filling up your tank. Why do we raise our hands? If you've never done that before, listen up. This is important. Why do we raise our hands? We raise our hands in surrender to God. Saying, God, I know that I don't necessarily want to treat people right. But I know as I surrender to your way, your power will overpower that way. We reach up our hands in surrender, but we also reach up our hands as an act of faith to receive. And as we're worshiping, we're receiving his perfect love. We're receiving him. Amen. We're receiving his power. We're receiving his grace. We're receiving his hope. Amen. And we're honoring him. And we're telling the world how great God is. And I encourage you, when we're worshiping, take some time to reach out your hands in faith and to receive from God and to honor God. Amen. And we're going to do that in just a minute. But also, I want to encourage you, there are times where you need to go to the altar. Sometimes you just know, man, I can't love myself, let alone somebody else. Scripture says to love your neighbors as you love yourself. That would suck for some of your neighbors. Because some of you don't love you very much at all. And if you love your neighbor the way you love you, that will go very badly for them. The other thing about spending time in the presence of God is you might start to love yourself a little better. You will start to love yourself a little better. And then you're going to fill up your love tank.
Come on.
Then you're going to overflow.
Yeah.
Then you'll be able to love your neighbors like you love yourself.
Yep.
Amen. see them the way God sees you. Amen. Sometimes we say we should see people the way God sees them. Let's try and see people the way God sees us. Some of you need to come down the front for prayer because your tank is so bone dry, you couldn't even start the fire with a sniff of an oily rag. You got nothing. It's bone dry. You need to come down the front today and ask. But some people won't come to an altar call because they're like, well, it's just a headache, it's not cancer. Well, believing God to heal cancer, do you know what the first step for that is? Believing God to heal a headache.
Come on. Yeah.
Step one, start believing God to heal a headache. So that same person, though, they look at their life and they go, well, you know, I've got no reason to feel the way I feel. I've got a great spouse, I've got great kids, or I've got a great job, I earn really good money, we've got a wonderful house, we're driving a great car, you know, I've got, everything's great, and so, but I just feel empty, and it feels like maybe I shouldn't go down and waste their time, maybe I shouldn't go down there for this, I shouldn't feel like, no, listen up, if you're empty, come and get prayer. Come and get prayer. There's like, some people just need to come down the front and get what we used to call in the olden days, a fresh touch from God. Some of y'all need to come down and get a fresh touch from God and let Him fill up that tank.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to encourage you to do that in just a few minutes. Before we have the altar call, though, we're gonna have an opportunity now for people to give their lives to Jesus Christ. And I know people came to church today wanting to give their lives to Christ and hoping that we would talk about that. And so I want to tell you how to do that, okay? Our scripture says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you will be saved.
Right.
And I say it every week and I'll say it again. Scripture does not say that if you're perfect, you'll be saved. It doesn't say if you behave yourself that you'll be saved. Come on. It doesn't say if you quit smoking or drinking or partying. It doesn't say if you quit doing dope. It doesn't say if you quit dressing like that. It doesn't say if you quit thinking like that or talk. It doesn't say anything else. But if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you will be saved.
Right.
I like to take scripture as it is.
That's
what it says. Now, look, we know that there's some things that we shouldn't be doing, right? Like, I know that. But here's the thing. It's not my job to fix you.
Right.
It's not my job to try and change you. I'm not good at it. Not good at it at all. It's my job to introduce you to Jesus and encourage you to pursue a better, more vibrant and healthy relationship with God.
Amen.
Okay? Because if there is something in your life that's destructive, and honestly, for all of us, there's something, and He's working on us all, right? And then we get done with that and God gives us another thing.
That's right.
If there's something in your life that's destructive to you, hurtful to others or offensive to God, then He will speak to you about that. And at that same time, He'll give you the strength and the power to win that battle.
Amen.
Okay? It might be tonight, or today, tomorrow, might be next month, next year, might be in 20 years. But He will speak to you. And for the rest of your life, you're going to go on a journey where God is making your life better.
Amen.
Okay? Making your life better. And a lot of those things, He's going to talk to you about, things you need to do to make it better. And He's going to help you, okay? So what am I saying? I'm saying the most important thing is that you give your life to Jesus and start living with Him. And that's it, okay? So let's do that today. We're going to believe in it. I'm going to say a prayer one line at a time. I want you to repeat it after me, all right? And as you're praying, I want you to believe it in your heart. And then you'll be saved. You'll be in a relationship with God. And your life will start to get better. I promise you, okay? I promise you, it will start to get better. Before time began, God created the heavens and the earth. And then He said, let us make mankind in our image. And at that moment, whether you believe it was 6,000, 7,000 years ago, or whether you believe it was millions or billions of years ago, I could not give a crap. All that matters is it was God that designed you, and it was God that set this in motion, and it was God that has a plan for your life.
Amen.
And so today I want you to step into that plan and start living the blessed life that God designed for you. So pray this prayer with me. Everyone in the room is going to pray it, so you will not be alone. We're all going to pray this prayer together in a loud and bold voice, especially those who are away from God and those who've never known Him. Everybody, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin. And he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive this new life. And I receive your forgiveness. Help me to live this life the way you designed it. Blessed, favored, forgiven, and full of purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, praise God. If you prayed that prayer, a couple of things I want you to do, okay? Number one, I want you to whip out your phone now or after the service. Just whip it out. You can take it out right now. I want you to text the word SAVED to the number 25827. Why? Well, we're a generous church and we're obsessed with generosity. So immediately, as soon as we get that, we're going to put in the mail a gift for you. In that, there's going to be a Bible, a worship CD, like the kind of music that we sing here at Eternity Church. And there's also going to be a gift card to a local coffee shop. Not one of those buy one, get one free garbage. I mean like value, all right? Like an actual gift card for you to get yourself a couple of free coffees on us, okay? We just love to be generous and we want to start on day one being generous to you, okay? So text the word SAVED to the number 25827. The second thing I want you to do is in a moment I'm going to count to three, then I want you to lift up your hand. Why? I want to pray for you, okay? I want to pray for you for God's favor and blessing on your life, but I want you to take a faith step and reach out your hands, okay? That faith step, you're saying, all right, I want what he's praying, okay? But everyone's eyes will be closed. So if everyone in the room could close their eyes and bow their heads, no one's looking around. We're giving people the privacy that they deserve. Complete privacy that they deserve, okay? No one's looking around. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to tell anyone who you are, but I just want to pray for you right now. So if you want me to pray for you on the count of three, I want you to take a faith step and lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Okay, you can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. See, I'm thrilled about this, and I'm going to pray for those 17 people. You know why I'm thrilled? This might have been our smallest service this weekend, but the most people got saved. Yeah. Come on. We had like 10 and 10 in the other services. Shall we pray? Come on, let's all pray for those 17 people. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that this place, the 2000 Northwest 100th Street, is a grace space. This is a place where people find grace, where people find hope, where they find love, joy. And God, we thank you for trusting us to be a place that would love your people. God, right now, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit would seal salvation upon the hearts of those 17 people right now and on the hearts of anyone who lifted up their hand online right now in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that any shame that they have been carrying, shame from their past mistakes, shame from feeling like they don't measure up to how a Christian should be or how a person should act or how someone in that family should act. God, any shame from their mistakes, I pray you break it off them. And God, for those of them that carry shame from other people's mistakes, things that others did to them, around them, near them, God, I just pray for freedom from that in Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, even right now, Lord, I just ask that you would flood their hearts now with hope.
Yes, Lord.
Now with joy and peace. Amen. That the world can't take away. Seal it on their lives, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yeah. Come on, praise God. God is love, amen. God is love. God is not Promite. God is not Marmite. He's the real deal. He's the real deal. The real deal. Hey, we're going to worship in just a moment. I want you to take this time to seriously lift up your hands if you're comfortable doing that. And just, God, I'm singing this to you, and as I do, I know that as I'm drawing near to you, you are drawing near to me and flooding my heart with love. And if you feel bone dry, fix it. Come get prayer. Come get prayer down here. We got a team of people just excited to pray for you. If you got a headache, get prayer. So when you find out your neighbor's got cancer, you got enough faith for that.
Yeah, that's good.
Start with the small things. But listen up, what should you get prayer for? If there's anything in your life that you wish was different, God cares about that and He wants to help you.
Yeah.
So come down the front. If you don't have much faith, don't worry. You can borrow ours and we'll still have enough left over for ourselves, okay? So come on down in a minute. There's one thing we're going to do before we open up the front for prayer, though. We're going to take up this morning's tithes and offerings. And Brandon's going to talk about that for 1 minute. But first, I just want to, as the lead pastor, I want to say thank you again for your generosity. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for being so extra so that our church can be so extra. Amen. So you can get ready to give online at myeternity.com. We can write checks to Eternity Church. You can put cash and checks in the bucket as it comes by. But again, we thank you for your generosity. We love you.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.